exactly what she's talking about.
You did?
I did.
I'm about to start as well. Good evening. I hope you're all well. Kodesh Tov, a good new month. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Ana bekoa, gedula chemincha, tati serura. Ala pepimo yutaf tzadi. The gematria of this phrase connects us to the phrase ahavat hinam, unconditional love. The letters of the month of Shvat, the month that we start today, we again use the first verse. The letters are the Tzadi that created the constellation Aquarius, the constellation Dili in Hebrew. This is the water bucket, or the water carrier. Different peoples have different perceptions of what the picture is. But it all has to do with water and the vessel, and the bet that created the planet Shabtai, the planet Saturn. Together, there's a gematria of 92, and that number relates to the unity of the physical and the spiritual worlds. There's more discussed about that in my monthly email. Kabel Rina, Amcha Sagvenu, Taharenu, Nora, Kufrei Shayan, Sintet Nun. These six letters spell two Hebrew words, cross and ton, or they can be rearranged to spell two other words, Sha'ar Katan. The first one means tear up Satan. Tear up. The next, excuse me, tear up the negativity. The second one reminds us to guard our gates, the small gates, that are the entry points for the negative system, our eyes, our ears, our nose, and our mouth. Na gibor, Dor Sheyehudcha Kivava Shamrem. Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin. Nun Gimel Dalet, through its gematria of 57, connects us to Parnassah, to sustenance. Yud Kaf Shin is a sequence that takes back the energy we've given to the negative side through our mistakes. Barchem tacharem, rachamei sidkatcha, tamid gamlem. Betetresh, Tzadi Tav Gimel. This sequence connects us to the sphere of Netzach, and one of the attributes of Netzach is eternal victory. Chasin kadosh, virov tuvcha, Na'el Adatach. Chet Kuf Bet, Tet Nun Ayin. This sequence connects us to the sphere of Hod, and one of the aspects of Hod is appreciation, thankfulness. And it teaches us to appreciate what we have received and to ask for more. Yachid Ge'er Lamcha Pene Zokre Kedushatach Yud Gimel Lamed Pei Zayin Kuf. This sequence helps to speed the spreading of the wisdom of Kabbalah during this, the sixth millennium. Yodea Talumot Shinkufav Sadiyutaf. The Shin and the Kuf, the first two letters, have a gematria of 400, which connects us to perfection and completion. When something is complete, it is perfect. If it wasn't perfect, it would not be complete. The last four letters connects us through its gematria to the same phrase as the first verse, Ahavatinam, unconditional love. And we learn from this that the path to completion, the path to perfection, is through the injection of unconditional love in each and every step of the process. And the eighth verse, we say silently, does anybody have any questions before I start reading from the Zohar? If you're on the conference call, you need to press star 6 to be able to be heard. Okay, I'm going to be reading from section 6. Section 6 is titled, All Things Have I Seen in the Days of My Vanity. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu. Petach Rabbi Shimon V'yamar Tachatze Ketiv Et Hakol Vayiti Bimei Hevli Yesh Tzadiko Ve'Bitzitko Yeshua Me'arich Ira'ato Shlomo Dechavas Achmeta Yetera Alkola Amai Ka'amar Bahai Kira'ela Shlomo Remes Dechachmeta Karamaz Dehazenan Orcho de Kucha, Erichu de Lav, Haki de Haketi, Vialtet Meish Kidrakav, Vaki Fri Mealalav, Elatire Inyane, Ninhu de Karamez, Haka. This is verse 136. Rabbi Shimon opens the discussion saying, come and see. It is written, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man who perishes in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness. What did Solomon, who possessed more wisdom than any other person, speak of in this verse? He responds, Solomon alluded to wisdom. We see that the ways of the Holy One, blessed be He, are not so. For it is written to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. Jeremiah chapter 17. But he is alluding to two themes here. King Solomon, under the pen name Kohelet, wrote the book of Proverbs, and he opens that book speaking about wisdom, and he refers to it as vanities, and it implies by the term vanities as its nothingness. And it's very hard for people to understand that code word, what is a vanity. Vanities is actually speaking of the levels of the Sefirot, and the levels of the Sefirot in our world. And it says in that first verse Ecclesiastes, the first verse talks about vanity of vanities. Nothing is, everything is vanities. And when you take the plural into account, he is saying and using the term vanity seven times, representing the seven lower sefirot. And this verse that is in the Zohar is, we're being brought this verse dealing with the sefirot to answer the question that we have all asked, why do good things happen to bad people? And conversely, why do bad things happen to good people? And we constantly ask this question over and over. We read from the book of Job, why did this, a righteous man, he's loved by God, how can he have all this pain and suffering, losing his children, his family, his all of his possessions? How can he, you know, how can this happen to good people? And this is what we will be talking about in this section. We will be talking about how the sefirot manifest in different ways when we have this idea of bad things happen to good people, but it also says elsewhere in Jeremiah and the prophecies that everything comes to people appropriately. As the verse in Jeremiah said, to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So every man earns what he gets. So how do we see bad things happening to good people? So that's what we will be talking about. Verse 137. The Alma Ulana Bekima Dikti Ki Hashem Enav Mosht Mishot Tot Bekol Haaretz The Ashkechan Chayavin The Alma Hahu Tzadika Dishtekach The Dara Itpas The Chovayhu V'chayavaya ma'arich kuchabarichu Rugzeim chon aditugun ve'ilav La'ish melkach man v'itva rachamei alayhu Ahidikiv yesh tzadik oved betzidko Mishum dehahu zaka'a istalak May Alma. We have learned that the eyes of the Holy One, blessed be He, wish to watch over the world and observe it, as is written. For the eyes of Hashem run to and fro throughout the whole earth. A verse from Chronicles. If there are wicked people in the world, the righteous man in that generation is snared in their sins. The Holy One, blessed be He, is long-suffering with the wicked until they repent. But if they do not repent, then there will be no one to plead mercy for them, because the righteous has already died. This is the meaning of there is a just man who perishes in his righteousness. It is because he is righteous that he has departed from the world, so he would not plead mercy for the generation. Why do good things happen to bad people? Why do bad things happen to good people? Because we are looking at people based on our physical senses. We don't see what is the true nature of people. What this verse in the Zohar is explaining is that a righteous man receives pain and suffering that isn't his. He accepts it as part of his relationship to the generation. The generation should have this pain and suffering. They're the ones who do the negative actions. But if they were to receive the suffering, they couldn't bear it. And in God's mercy, he says, okay, let's give it to the righteous person. he didn't do anything wrong, but if he stays in the world, he's going to want to protect these people. So let's let him taste some of the negative result of their actions, and it will cause him to die earlier than he would have. But he won't be in the physical world to plead for these people who don't deserve somebody to plead for them. They're going to receive their just rewards. They're going to receive the negativity in their lives. But I don't want a righteous man in the world pleading for them. It's not right. It's not appropriate. So the Zohar is explaining that he gives pain and suffering, a quick illness, to this righteous man. And we see that time after time in the sages of the Jewish world. The Ari, who lived in 1517, or died in 1517, he was 2 years in Sfat. He came to Sfat to teach one student, and that student said, I don't want to learn just with you, let me bring my friends. So he acquiesced, and the friends slowed them down. They couldn't learn. And so what took place is the Ari left the world with a short case of flu. In and out, done, he's gone, he died of the flu. And now he comes and he teaches that same student, but only one-on-one. No one else knows he's there. All because the student wanted to learn his way, not the way that was best for him. And this is all part of the process, all part of understanding the way the world works. Do we understand why bad things happen to good people? Most people don't want to face this statement. Bad things happen to good people because the generation that they're associated with are bad people. Why are they associated with this bad generation? They come to assist the generation, to help them. But they didn't listen. They didn't learn. And so God says, here, get sick. Come out of the world quickly. Because these people need to be punished. These need, not punished, it's a wrong term. These people need to have their negative effects, the negative effects of their actions. They need to have them come to them. But I don't want you, the righteous person, to feel their pain by seeing them afflicted with this pain, with these negative actions. And so, please, out of God's mercy, he takes them from the world. It's not like that dying is such a horrendous situation. When we die, we return to the Creator, a much better place than where we are now.
Verse 138. Mishum davai lehai demadoe bein chayavaya dehu itchpas bechol vayhu veidiyore bein zaka'in otivin lebeginechon.
Therefore we learn that a person should only live in a place where men of action live. For what reason? Woe unto the person who dwells among the wicked, for he is caught in their sins. And if he dwells among the righteous, he is dealt well with due to their merit. It's a verse that's clear on its surface from what I said earlier. Live with righteous people. Now, we live in a generation that I'm teaching the righteous people have been concealed from us. They are still in this world. There's at least 36 righteous people in the world. But we don't know who they are. 20 years ago, there were righteous people that were revealed. We knew their names. We could go to them for a blessing. But by the year 2000, these righteous people had all died. There weren't people in the world who could give us blessings and assist us. Meaning, we must do our spiritual work ourselves in this generation. We have fallen so far spiritually. We have to do it ourselves. But live among the righteous. Live among people who are more righteous than the other members of our society. Now, where do you find these people? That's an interesting question. Every city that we live in tends to be related to the negativity. There's more crime, there's more violence, there's more rapes, there's more murders in the bigger cities. But where do people live? In the bigger cities. Am I telling you all to move to the country and get away from the big cities? Move into the smaller villages and towns? There's less chaos there. But it's hard to earn a living that way. So this is how we balance. Where should we live? This is how we balance. How do we handle our spirituality versus the wisdom and the joy of this physicality? There's no easy solution, but with restriction, you'll know the right answer for you at any given moment. I frequently ask the question, should I move to Israel? Because as a Jewish person, as somebody studying Kabbalah, that would be the best place for me to study. There are people living there that are more righteous, more knowledgeable than where I am. And I constantly ask that question, and I'm constantly being given the same answer. Not yet. It's not time to go. You have students who need to have the information. You have students who need to be taught. Bene kaput kaye vahava dechika le shata umarin radin avatro natal vishave madare bain mare turisin titsipari visali vizakalakama kavin lekama Utra Likama Oraita Viamar Kohai Zakaya Zakina Aldialit Beninun Tiku Chabarihu Ashkach Leotava Lahu. Rabbi Chasda lived at first among the people of Cappadocia, and it was difficult for him, and he was plagued with sickness. He then moved his dwelling among the protectors of Tsippori, meaning among Torah scholars who are called protectors. He became great and merited much good, many riches, and much Torah. And he said, I merited all this because I came among these people, whom the Holy One, blessed be He, takes care of, to do good for them. The Kishlomo Dira Dagin Ila in Dutta Hakmata Avo Be Alcohol Bene Dira Dictive Diechkam Nikol Hadam Dictive
Shlomo, Al Kisei Adonai, Lemelech Amar Bimei Elihu Tiv, Akol Havalim Amar Kochelet. Another explanation of the verse, all things have I seen in the days of my vanity. Solomon hit all the highest levels of wisdom, more than all the people of the generation, as it is written, for he was wiser than all men. And then Solomon sat on the throne of the Hashem as king. Could he say about his life, in the days of my vanity, and vanity and of vanity, says Kohelet? The verse does not make a lot of sense, because it seems to be talking about two subjects, but it's really the same subject. It's asking, how could Solomon, who's the wisest of men, live in this court where all of the physical pleasures and treasures were constantly being revealed, and he was constantly being exposed to beautiful women that he ended up marrying over 1,000 wives, all dealing with why he did not have his own soulmate, because he couldn't practice restriction in this area of his life. Verse 141. Yedidya Adur Bin Yaka Itiel Lemoel Kohelet Kohelet Neged Kulam the Kulam Igraka Ain Shemala Kohelet Kedufya Kadisha Dere Asara Begin Kach Kahel Ain Kach Pahut Me Asara the Kahel Afilu Mea the Kohelet Kalala Kolakim Mem Dalet Aleph Kohelet Yaakov. We learn that Solomon was called by seven names. Solomon, Yedidya, Agur, Binyake, Itiel, Lemuel, Kohelet, and the name Kohelet is equal to them all. Each of them is named in the likeness of above. Kohelet is also called the sacred congregation of 10 men. Therefore, it is said less than 10 people is not considered a congregation, a kahal. A congregation could even be 100 or more, but not less than 10. Kohelet includes everyone, all of Israel, as is written, the congregation of Yaakov. Verse 142. It seems that the subject seems to be changing direction, but it's really not. We'll come to see that. Vetana Shemotav Al Shem HaChachma Itkerun Ugin Kach Gimel Sifrin Aved Shir HaShirim Kohelet Mishlei Kehul Huli Ashlema Akamta Shir HaShirim Lekabel Dechesed Kohelet Lekabel Dina Mishle Lekabel Derachame Begin Liashlema Ach Betra Dehu Avad Koma De Aved Begin Liachaza Ach Meta Lekavak Lakabel Dargaila Avehu Amar Bimei We learn that his names were called after wisdom, and therefore he composed 3 books. Shir HaShirim, Song of Songs, Kohelet, which is Ecclesiastic, and Mishlei, which is Proverbs. the purpose of them all is to perfect wisdom. Shir HaShirim corresponds to Chesed, Kohelet corresponds to judgment, and Mishlei corresponds to mercy. Namely, they correspond to the three columns, Chesed, judgment, mercy. This is in order to perfect wisdom. Everything that he did was for the purpose of displaying wisdom, and in correspondence to the highest level. He said about himself, in the days of my vanity, and vanity of vanities. Again, it's a verse that does not seem to be making sense, but it will come together. Verse 143. Ela raza dehevel yakira hu dehu haval dinafik nipu umal deraza dehevel dinafik. Mi puma kala itaved mine vitana ein haolam mitkayam ela hapehevel pihem shel timukot shel bet rabam shelo chetu mamash vehevel Itaved berucha, umaya v'kol ma deitaved, v'alma behevel. Itaved beraza dehai hevel, shel tikunot, itaved kala, v'itpashat b'alma, v'inun t'ture alma, u'ture karta ha'idiktiv, Im Hashem lo yishmar yir v'umer. He answers that vanity, the Hebrew word is hevel, which also means breath, and also is the name of Abel, is a precious secret. It is the breath that comes out of the mouth, and by means of the breath that comes out from the mouth, a sound is formed. We learn that the world exists only through the breath of the mouths of the school children who have not sinned. That is, who have not actually sinned. It's not that they did not sin, but is not considered a sin because of their minor age. Breath is made of air and water, and everything in the world is made of breath. The inner meaning of the breath of these children becomes a sound and spreads throughout the world. They are the guards of the world and the guards of the city. This is the meaning of unless Hashem keeps the city. Verse 144. Lenefak kala, kala mamash kaim bekiyobe, veapaka mila vehahu, evel dehavav achasante, yavo karye, evel mine, chaza koma dechaza, veaagi desiyuin. Sigiin meila acharanin havole ulishta moda milabar vimehevle vimilada mitamanata. Come and see, it is both breath and a sound. What is the difference between them? Breath has the power to produce a sound, but actual sound has the power to produce words. Hevel, who inherited from his father, is called Hevel, and whatever Solomon saw came through him. And even though he had much support from above, from other levels, he said, in the days of my vanity, to make known that this word comes from there. The word in Hebrew that is translated as vanities is Hevel. So it has many different understandings. It means breath. It means the name have a label. It means nothingness that the word vanity represents. It represents the spherot. And it's understanding and teaching on many different levels. And Solomon was given wisdom to be able to see through these levels of the spherot and which levels were dealing with which issues so that he could answer the question, why do bad things happen to good people? It's because he could see a difference in the generations and he could understand how one generation received negativity. The righteous person of that generation received negativity. And the next generation, the righteous person received positivity. And it seemed unfair. But if you understand what level of spherot we're dealing with, it's not unfair. It's different frames of references. Verse 145. Virazad demila hakol hevel et hakol iti. Vime hevle yesh sadik ove betzidko gahu reza. Demila legagela ufarsem vidikola talya bime hevli kilomar bezimna dechai hevel yanke. Min dina begin lemebad dina tzadik oved betzidko uzina rachai chazal inashka me rachamei rasha me arich vera ato vetar vayhu talyan behai hevel kish Ketiv bimei v'la ketiv v'yom v'kola talyan bimei hevel b'da man b'yara b'yara b'dina b'dina man b'yara b'rachamei b'rachamei. And the secret meaning of the words, all is vanity. In the days of my vanity, I saw everything, and there is a just person who perishes with his righteousness. Is the secret of that which he revealed and made known that everything depends on the days of my vanity. This means that when Hevel nurtures from judgment in order to execute judgment before the reconciliation of the central column, there is a just man who perishes in his righteousness because of that judgment. When Hevel nurtures from mercy, meaning after the reconciliation of the central column, that there is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness, as because of mercy he is long-suffering, and both the wicked and the righteous are dependent upon this Hevel. Therefore it is written in the days and not in the day, for they all depend on this level. Whoever happens to be at the time of judgment is treated with judgment, and whoever happens to be at the time of mercy is treated with mercy. People lived at the time of the Holocaust, got caught up in the Holocaust. They might not have had that kind of pain and suffering if they lived in a different generation. People in the United States didn't get caught up in the pain and suffering of the Hevel. But they did receive horrible pain and suffering. But they didn't have to if they lived in a different generation. And that's what King Solomon is explaining in the Book of Kohelet. While it's judgment, It's always tempered with mercy. Verse 146. Ve'itema yesh tzadik oved dela ka'amar avod haki hu ano aloked mamash dehahu bina oved l'tzadik ne alma umidat ra ve'yesh rasha me'arich berachatim. Me arich mamash dehahu dina kadimta me rachame aved rachame lehahu rasha ume arich me. It is written, there is a just man who perishes in the present continuous tense. He asks, why does it not say perished in the past tense? For if it is dependent upon time, it should have been said in the past rather than the present tense. He answers, every time it is aroused, judgment removes the righteous man from the world and from the generation. It is always this way. There is a wicked man who prolongs his life in his wickedness, who actually prolongs his life in his sin. For when that judgment lurches from misery, it bestows a mercy on that wicked man and forbears with him. Why do these good things happen to bad people? Through the mercy of Hashem. He gives him some goodness to pay him, reward him for the effect of his positive actions. He doesn't want to wait until the next world to give him that. He'll give it to him in this world by prolonging him in his wickedness. Verse 147. Ad havo yatve hamu ki Torah dechava salik le'rav nachit letata amar itataruta itatar dutinati tiara begoilela ad haki salik ahu hakala recha mikol pusni namar nechtiv akad ishkinta gavan itkoyam begin kach kerit Sadeh Asher Berko Hashem. While they were still sitting, they saw a column of incense smoke rising up and going down. He said, this crowning, the smoke is surrounded with mud of the earth from above. It therefore goes up and down, which alludes to the hevel mentioned before. In the meantime, there arose a scent from the field, which was more fragrant, as it is written, like the smell of a field which Hashem has mastered. We don't have time to finish the next section. So, does anybody have any questions? You want to know why bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people? We were just taught a whole lesson of understanding, and we don't see it. It's in our life today, and we don't see it. It will become clear, but it's really related to the generation that they are in. Based on the generation they're in, they will be left here and be rewarded, as opposed to being laid off and moving on to the next pattern. Does anybody have any questions? If not, I'm wishing everybody a Shabbat Shalom. Kodesh Tov for a good month. Good night. Shabbat Shalom. For those of you interested, I will be home in about an hour. Speak to you soon.